Hey, everybody, it's Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. Holy shit, we got a fun episode today. It's another classic throwback About Last Night podcast episode. That's right, baby. It's Memorial Day. It's a special day. We thought we'd have a special episode. Also, Brad and I's travel schedules conflicted and made it not possible for us to get a new one. But this is the best part about having some of these throwbacks. When the podcast first got going, we had a handful of you guys following us, and the numbers have really grown. And we've got so many really hilarious episodes from a year ago that, a lot of you, I don't know if you're going back to listen to, because now we're really moving forward with dope guests and better content. So it's fun to go back and listen to some of these stories that we haven't shared before. This one's really awesome. Talk about Brad's first acting job on Nickelodeon, me getting in trouble as Wolverine at Universal Studios. And we also get to hear my 3-year-old nieces at the time talking about their love for Justin Bieber at the age of 3. As well as midget fights in McDonald's ball pits and other hilarious stuff. Have no fear, all new brand. A lot of fun stuff coming up on the podcast. We've got some incredible guests that we are recording this week. Dion Cole from the Conan O'Brien Show, Greg Fitzsimmons, who's been a writer for ESPN, Chelsea Lately, Comedy Central, The Roast, Howard Stern. He's got his own show on Howard Stern's network on Sirius Radio. Bert Kreischer, Tom Arnold, Adam Devine from Workaholics and Pitch Perfect and Modern Family. I just spent 2 weeks with him in New Orleans doing season 2 of his Comedy Central stand-up show, House Party. So he's going to come on and talk about that. Our buddy Rick Glassman from the show Undateable that premieres NBC Thursday with our buddies Chris D'Elia, Ron Funches, and Brent Morin, who are all past guests of the About Last Night podcast. So a lot of really fun episodes coming up, but we really hope you enjoyed today's episode. It's a throwback. It's fun. You get to hear Brad and Adam a year ago and how we, before we hit puberty. Some tour dates coming up for both Brad and I. Brad Williams, where's he going to be, folks? Well, I'll tell you, when he's not making shoes and cookies, you can find Brad May 29th through May 31st. I'm sorry, May 29th through June 1st at the Omaha Funny Bone, June 5th through June 7th at Side Splitters in Knoxville, Tennessee. And Brad, June 12th through June 15th, is doing Bonnaroo, the huge music comedy festival. That's a big fucking deal. We're proud of our buddy. Adam Ray, you can find me at the Pioneer Underground Theater in Reno, Nevada, May 29th through May 31st. You can find me at the Hollywood Improv on June 3rd and June 4th at 10 o'clock, both those shows. I'll be at Gotham Comedy Club doing Access Live on June 19th at 10 o'clock. And then the weekend with Sebastian Maniscalco, June 20th through the 22nd at Gotham Comedy Club in New York City. And then, of course, I'm headlining the La Jolla Comedy Store in San Diego, California, June 27th and 28th. Those are special shows because I'm going to be doing a lot of singing. Jeff Scott, the incredible keyboardist at the Comedy Store in Los Angeles, is coming down with me. And we've been doing these late-night sets where we improvise a lot of my set. I sing some of my jokes. We improvise songs with the crowd. It's really fucking incredible. It's really unique and special, and I can't wait to do it down there. So come out June 27th and June 28th. That's all the information for the tour dates. Of course, pick up my album, Pop Tart Suicide, on my website, AdamRayTV.com. Get Brad's album on his website, BradWilliamsComedy.com. Of course, the album is Hi Ho. It's hilarious. Get it. Continue to rate and subscribe the podcast on iTunes. When you do 5-star ratings and comment, it helps our ratings go up, and we continue to climb the charts and take over the world. Fuck. Sometimes you just talk on these intros and you don't know where you're going, and you just hope that you don't embarrass yourself. That's all the information. Thank you for listening. We love doing this podcast. We couldn't do it without you guys. A lot of fun shit coming up. But for now, sit back and listen to this throwback classic episode of the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day, so come on and treat yourself right. It's About Last Night.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. This is the About Last Night show. Did you miss us?
Hey-ho.
We missed you. I'm Brad Williams. There's my co-host over there with a fancy new haircut, Adam Ray.
And it's a little Jersey Shore-esque, which I didn't realize until people were like, a couple people, the same thing that they did when I first bought my vest, when they're like, hey, Marty McFly called. He wants his Back to the Future vest back.
Pauly D called. He wants his hair back.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, see,
I've been fist pumping nonstop, so I think I'm calling.
See,
I'm asking for it.
I would go less Jersey Shore and more like you look like the Jewish Bart Simpson.
Oh my God.
Don't have a cow, man, as long as it's kosher.
Oh my God. Brad Williams.
Oh yeah.
You're a comedian.
Before we
what would his name be? What would Jewish Bart Simpson
name? Oh, Bart Simpsonberg.
Or Bartholomew. Wait.
Bartholomew Simpsonberg?
Or yeah. Simpsonberg.
Simpsonstein. Simpstein.
Don't have a cow, man, as long as it's kosher. Dude, that is
your first t-shirt, Adam,
yeah,
right?
That's hilarious.
Before we get everything out of the before we get into the fun stuff, we just got to get a little business out of the way, and that is you probably noticed that we were gone for 2 weeks. Half of that was because I had some work, some acting work, which we will talk about, and then Adam was busy, but then also because some things are happening here at the GoCast Network. I wish I could talk in detail about it, but I really can't. Just know that there's changes being made at the top. Management going through some stuff. Mommy and Daddy are fighting. We like Mommy and Daddy. We love Mommy and Daddy, but they're fighting. So we don't know.
It's one of those things where they're fighting, yeah, with the door closed, and you can kind of hear through it, but it's you hear like, and you're like, all right, did he like, wait, the belt or did he spank her?
Yeah, who hit who? That's, yeah, either sex or I should jump in there with a 911 call.
You always know what's in that one. You always had a man. You always had a man. Put your tits on these pancakes. No.
Exactly. Yeah. But we just want to let you, our loyal fans, know that do not delete our podcast. Stay subscribed because, to be honest, we don't know where we're going to end up. I know GoCast is being retooled. We may stay here. We may go and do our own thing. We may join some other networks. But just know that we will continue to do a podcast. You may have some spacing, couple weeks in between shows, but while we get it figured out. But we will get back to a normal schedule. Thank you for staying with us. Thank you for rating us on iTunes. Thank you for leaving comments. Thank you for the tweets. We read all of them because we're egomaniacs, and we like to read our Twitters and see what happens. But thank you. But yeah, the other week that we didn't do a podcast, I was busy because I got an acting job at the most prestigious network in the land. Yeah, right. The most prestigious network in the land.
Logo?
Not Logo, but right there.
Logo's the gay and lesbian network.
Right there. I got an acting job on Nickelodeon. And as soon as they cast me on a Nickelodeon sitcom, I thought, wow, these guys have not seen my YouTube videos.
What if they had just cast you to dance Gangnam Style? That would have been amazing. That would have been brilliant, actually. Are you kidding me? I don't know why a show hasn't picked you up to do that yet.
Right? Just a dance guy?
I'm serious.
Dance Gangnam Style?
I mean, the only reason it doesn't have millions of hits is because the right sites haven't picked it up yet.
Right.
And because, you know, but
it'll happen.
What did you do on the show?
Well, the show is called Salmon Cat, and it's not out yet, but it's some spinoff of the iCarly show.
That has a built-in following, like from
talk about a built-in following. There's these two girls who are playing the characters Sam and Cat, and I'm talking with them. I'm like, oh, you guys are so cute. You're young. Don't worry. Yeah, I'll watch my language. Yeah. And then
ever seen a midget's ass? Yeah.
But like, I'm trying to be nice because I know I have a filthy mouth. And then they look at me like, motherfucker, I'm 20. You're like, what?
Oh yeah, dude. Kids swear way more than adults.
Yeah, that. And I thought they were 12.
Yeah.
Because they look 12 and they're on Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
And then they're like, I'm 20. And they started making dirty jokes. And you're like, oh shit, now I'm the creepy uncle.
Sure.
So it happens. And then I looked them up on Twitter. Ariana Grande is one of the names of the actresses. She's got 5 million followers on
Jesus
Twitter.
Jesus Christ.
5 million! Million! I'm sitting here in my 21,000 going, I'm hot shit. I'm the man.
Oh, yeah, dude.
21,000 followers. Yo, I could send out a tweet and have five people at a pizza place tonight. Is that nuts? That's what I can do.
Is that nuts? Even Julia Louis-Dreyfus has like 120,000.
Right. And you're like, you were on Seinfeld, the greatest sitcom of all time. Wow, you're on Veep, which is an amazingly amazing show, and
doesn't
you got 120,000.
Doesn't matter.
But man, you
do you dress like you're 25 but look like you're 5? Dude, obviously you when you say she looks 12, I 100% believe you, because just the way, obviously, all the image-driven shit, and it's gotten even worse with more and more magazines and sites and just rating systems and whatever, and just the way that people this day and age are comparing themselves nonstop. You see these girls wearing like dressing like they're 25. It's like, dude, you're at the mall. It's just like you see a girl. Oh, shit, let me go hit on that girl. Like, you know, she's working on some, you know, little notebook. You're like, hey, you know, what you working on? Can you buy you a drink? She's like, I'd love to, but I got to finish studying for my spelling test. You're like, oh shit, how old are you? 9. Cool. You
all
look
right.
Like you're 40.
Moving on. And it was made even more creepy with the fact that one of the stars of the show, I will not say which one, was getting text messages from a friend of mine.
Sure.
Who is 40. He was texting her. She is 20 and looks 12.
You know what though? But
he did not know that I was there, obviously. But and she's like bragging about, oh my god, so and so's texting
now,
me. And I'm just like, oh,
is the 20? See, now the 40 to 20 age difference. I know it, like. And maybe I'm starting to get defensive because I'm anticipating being in that similar situation.
Because you're 30 and not looking to settle.
Yeah, but I mean, I think what it is, you have to break it down like in different stages of life.
Right.
40 to 20, there's going to be some questions from mom and dad. You know,
right? Like, why is your boyfriend older than me?
Sure. 60 to 40? No, it's acceptable. You're both adults. You're both halfway through life.
Yeah.
You can make your own decisions.
Sure.
Hey, 20 and fetus? You know, that's probably, hey man.
That's a little.
You're probably going to ask, hey, so what are your intentions with my daughter? Well, first of all, sir, I'd like to see her born.
Yeah. If she comes out happy and healthy. Then we could talk. See, this goes back to a joke I have in my stand-up where if there's the guys out there that want to go for the young, for the girls that look, you know, like they're 10, like they're like, I'm a pedophile, but I can't commit. Just date midgets. That's all I'm saying. Just date midgets. That's all you got to do. There's plenty of them out there.
Yeah.
We look young, older.
You can feed that childlike.
Yeah, I've had sex with plenty of dwarfs where I've looked down and go, all right, this kind of looks wrong.
Whoa, for real?
Dude, yes.
Oh my god.
Yes, I have. And it's
based on the size of the anatomy or
everything. Yeah, based on the size of everything. Because I mean,
she was eating a snow cone. I mean, there was just like,
it's like, did you have to wear a Dora the Explorer T-shirt? Did you have to do that? And you're singing the Go Diego Go theme song. Really? I mean, because this is getting kind of creepy.
Oh,
but it was a blast. I had fun on Sam and Cat. But it was weird, though, because it's like a kid's sitcom.
Right.
So you're there all day doing, like, kids' jokes.
Live audience?
No. Laugh track. So that's going to be fun. I don't know if I'm even allowed to say that. But
obviously. Yeah,
it's obvious.
Yeah,
it's a laugh track.
Wait, so your character is?
Oh, my character is Hector. Don't be fooled by the sound of the.
If you had a mustache and a sombrero. There would be no reason for them not to have you dance Gangnam Style.
My character is Hector. My character is someone that...
They mistake you for a piñata? Like,
close. the girls are having a feud with the bad guy, and I'm the bad guy's best friend.
Awesome.
So they kidnap me to hold for ransom until the bad guy gives them what they want. Now, here's the thing with my character is that I didn't speak English. I didn't speak any language. I spoke gibberish, so I was talking.
So the audition, they asked you to make up your own language?
Yes. So I believe my first
line. What type of research do you do for that?
I just go to Koreatown and then just try to rinse and repeat.
Just order something.
Yeah, just go to any Chinese restaurant.
Order something not on the menu and listen to them yell at you.
Yeah. Foka kwaki sapa niku! Ah, shit. Okay, there it is. Can you say that again slower?
Yeah.
Like, In the audition, I'm just supposed to be like really angry and yelling in a crazy language. So I'm like, and it's funny because I was literally like looking around the room, and like when I would see objects, I would turn that into a gibberish word. So if I saw like a coffee mug, I'd be like mug luck or like something like that. So it ended up being like a lot of like just random objects in the room. But it's interesting to do a language because then I would actually have the guys who were on the script walk up to me and say, we really need you to say the gibberish that we wrote for you.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Easy, buddy. Easy. Yeah, it's because – but the thing was they have a lot of inside jokes. Like they would have like writers' last names in the gibberish.
Yeah, I mean, so, I guess give it to them.
So it's like, all right, I got to yeah.
And I guess – but you know, but even at that point, there probably is some gibberish that's funnier than other like lines of gibberish.
So like – and the only line I got exactly right was the first line.
Greg's wife loves black dildos, so like, you know.
So if you could just throw in, who's that porn star? Why am I blanking on my black porn stars? I should know them.
Benny's got a cyst on his taint, so say taint. So say taint cyst backwards.
Taint cyst backwards. Cystatonse.
Is that
perfect?
Is that really what it is?
I don't know. Maybe I
just made up a type of paste picante sauce that never made it. A type of salsa that never made it. Cystatonse.
That's perfect. Yeah, like my first line was "Ukadesh vle itzpak balik deku," and I had to say it like that.
I think he played for the Nuggets in 96.
Sharif Ahmad Abdurrauf.
Yeah.
Ahmad
Mahmoud
Ibrahim.
Yo, that guy.
Yeah, Ahmad Abdurrauf.
You know his name was like Chris Anderson or
Chris
something?
Jackson.
Chris Jackson.
Yeah, it was Chris Jackson.
But then he
played for the Nuggets.
Became
later the Grizzlies.
Islamic.
And then he joined
Allah or something?
Yeah, Muhammad Ahmad Abdurrauf was his name now. And then it's like, yeah, you got to switch to that.
Mahmoud Abdurrauf.
Yeah.
That may be the coolest name of all time.
That's what I should have done is just read off Muslim NBA players. Like
you should have, yeah.
Ahmad Abdurrauf Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. It's on
Sharif
a diving
Abdul
show.
Rahim.
Sharif Abdul-Rahim.
Dude, those names sound like you're putting a curse on somebody's family, B, a sex position you have to pay at least $60 for in the red light district, or D, something you don't want on your salad at the Olive Garden.
Yeah.
The Sharif Abdul-Rahim on the side.
So I want the balsamic, the sliced strawberries are cool. If you can do some avocado on there, that'd be great. But the Ahmad Abdurrauf, yeah, it's not exactly in season. I don't know how fresh it is here. We're good. We're good on that.
I'm trying to not eat carbs.
Yeah, but it was a blast to do. So look out for Sam and Kat.
Hopefully
and
they bring you back, man.
I would love to be brought back as Hector. And come in there and just do a more gibberish.
Dude, or, you know what? I mean, it'd be great if they gave you a spinoff. Also, why isn't there, like, I don't know, man. There should be a dwarf show for kids on Nickelodeon.
We're working on it, sir.
Okay, good.
Me and the clan are doing a little. You
for
know,
real?
Yeah.
You should be.
I shouldn't say the word clan, though. That sounds wrong.
Why there isn't a scripted fucking dwarf show?
Right?
Not fucking dwarf show. I'm putting a fucking.
So it's like Gigolos on Showtime, but instead of just fucking dwarves.
To emphasize my excitement to seeing dwarves on a children's network.
You know who's probably blocking it? John Stamos.
Jesus.
Stamos!
By the way, he tweeted
me back.
Yeah, I saw that.
John Stamos tweeted me back.
Thank
you. Yeah. All
got on him.
All the fans of about last night kept saying, hey, John Stamos, why you ducking funny, Brad?
Have mercy.
And, and he finally tweeted me back. He said, I'm not scared of funny, Brad. I'm scared of his breath. So apparently John Stamos knows I have halitosis. and he told his 1 million. Nothing like when a guy tells his 1 million Twitter followers that you have bad breath.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's awful.
Yeah, because I was getting random tweets from like Stamos fans saying like, you know, Altoids are just a cheap cover up, man. Like, I'm like,
what?
Jesus, really?
Wow, this day and age. And then you said that at one of your shows this weekend that there is a scared.
Oh yeah, there was a guy from the school of Stamos. There was a guy in the front row of my show this weekend in San Antonio. And by the way, like over 20 people, not an exaggeration, 20 people were coming up to me after shows saying we're here because of the About Last Night podcast.
Yeah,
I counted.
That's great.
I counted. Like I kept looking at my feature act and like, dude, there's another podcast one.
It's great.
It was great. So thank you guys for coming out.
Yeah.
It's always so cool when because we do this in a studio. It's just you and I talking to each other.
Yeah, we don't know the effect.
We can't put the faces to Ukadesh Vila Itzpak Delitaku 35 on Twitter. So,
by the way, that guy's constantly retweeting Subway deals. Anytime I see a new $5 footlong, he's retweeting them.
So yeah,
that always blows my mind when I would see Subway on Twitter, by the way,
because right?
Like, I'm like, they would just post like, hey, the new turkey ranch in Swiss is, you know, and get a free bag of chips. I'm like, dude, the only reason I'm gonna follow Subway is if you're tweeting funny shit like, hey, two lesbians just came in and stole all the tuna, lol. I'd be like, fucking retweet that shit. That's fucking hilarious,
right? Yeah, who's that fat that they're following like Burger King on Twitter?
Like, I mean,
who's in there going?
Funny, unless it was like McDonald's had like a fake like Grimace or Ronald McDonald's tweeting funny shit about the restaurant.
Right.
Like, hey, another fat kid just got stuck in the ball pit. You know, let's fucking first guy to fish him out with one giant fry wins a free Happy Meal.
Sure, sure. Yeah, just random stuff like that. You'd follow it, but I don't need to follow McDonald's on Twitter so I know when McRib is coming back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm good.
Because I'll know. Yeah. You don't think I'm camping outside that McDonald's?
Listen, you know how when the swallows migrate to Capistrano, you know, like it's springtime or when the groundhog pops up.
Sure.
That's when the black people start migrating to McDonald's, that's when you know the McRib is back. When the opening scene from The Lion King is happening, where it's, the vanya,
yo, dude, that's
McRib,
a-
Yo, that's- hum, barbecue sauce.
Yo. Jermaine, what's up? Yes, man, that's it. Yeah. Fucking McRib's back. Dude, that'd be a great idea for a sketch, too. Use the beginning of The Lion King and then insert two black guys waking up and then going to McDonald's to get the McRib. Yo, by the way, I like that you're saying the only time they go to McDonald's is for the McRib. Every McDonald's commercial now is
black people.
Black people.
Yeah.
It's really starting to...
My favorite is the guy is the newest one that's out. They have some, and I'll get back to the guy who's scared of me in San Antonio in a second.
Yes.
But there's a guy, he's a black dude sitting in a McDonald's. He has the new premium McWrap, whatever their giant version of a white burrito
he's got
is.
Two burgers and a apple pie inside of it.
Exactly. And he all he does is takes off the cap, and then from the other side of the McDonald's, the hottest black girl you've ever seen in your life, like Tyra Banks in her prime, go fuck yourself, just sees the McWrap opening and just like magically is like brought towards her. Like she can't even help it. Like she's looking around like...
It's like Axe body spray.
Yeah. It's one of those. So like basically a McWrap is the black Axe body spray.
Wow.
So you just rub McWrap on you.
Just rub McWrap on you.
Just rub McWrap on you. And McWrap is not the name of an 80s rapper from the 80s, although that would have been awesome.
Would have been great.
Yeah. Did I just say 80s rapper from the 80s? Yeah, nice job being redundant, Brad.
You know, let me say this about the McDonald's play place, too, the ball pit. Like, they need to – you wonder why that place exists, and I think I figured it out. It's because, yeah, the wages aren't so great. You're at McDonald's working long hours.
Right.
That McDonald's play place is like Cirque du Soleil for fat kids. Like, it's fucking –
Cirque de Fatte.
Oh, yeah, dude. You have a fucking... You're watching them climb through ball pits and slides and tubes. You might as well put a fucking treadmill in there just to top it off with things they can't do. Because they're constantly climbing and sweating and struggling.
It's right. Just,
and the ball pit, first of all, that is the one... I mean, let's be honest. You see like a fat kid get stuck in a red tube slide. It's a nice little pick-me-up.
Sure.
Like, you feel bad, but then you're like, that's fucking hilarious. Because you know he's going to get out of there.
Oh, eventually, like, they'll just like rub some honey on there and then get him out.
Exactly.
Yeah,
you're like, fucking, I love that you had the confidence to try that tube in the first place. You thought you weren't fat. You thought you could fit, you fat fuck. But the ball pit is really like it's a neutralizer, because whether you're a skinny kid or a fat kid or a dwarf or 6'5",
right?
You always struggle in the ball pit.
Can't move in that
thing. Because when God fucking created man and woman, he didn't fucking go, you know, all right, men are gonna fucking think about fucking every 7 seconds.
Right.
Women are gonna, you know, make best friends with women at bars over a song and then talk shit about them 10 minutes later. He didn't go, oh, and then people are gonna, you know, successfully be able to climb out of plastic ball pits at fucking shitty fast food restaurants.
And on the fifth day, God
made us all appropriately equipped to climb out of plastic ball pits. Goulet.
Yeah, I believe that was the 11th commandment that broke.
Yeah, and he had Robert Goulet deliver it. No, but I mean, it's like, it really, like, because, shit, man, I can remember, like, Discovery Zone. You remember when that existed?
Oh, DZ?
Oh, for birthday
parties. We're going DZ at Discovery Zone, where I can cut loose and be on my own. I'm going
DZ at Discovery Zone.
I remember that one.
I lost my phone on the fucking slide ball pit, and now there's a guy outside asking me where my shoes are at. I said, they're still in the cubby. Get your hands off of my butthole.
Wow, you had a different experience at DZ than I did.
Hey, man, it was a DZ in fucking Bakersfield.
I would always like here's where because and you've experienced this with me where I forget I'm a midget because it's like I'm just. This is just my life, and you, and,
define you.
Yeah, and you forget I'm a dwarf because I'm just your buddy.
Sure.
So I remember being at Discovery Zone and with my buddies, and we're like, what, like 7 to 10, like somewhere in there. And we're like, all right, guys, we're going to play X-Men. So everyone pick an X-Man. And then I picked my favorite X-Man, which was Cyclops, because I fucking love Cyclops.
Yeah.
And then
he's the guy with one eye, right?
He's got the lasers that come out of the eyes.
He's like the LeVar Burton from Star Trek.
He is.
Yeah.
He literally is. He's got like the same sort of vision thing
first, Cyclops or LeVar Burton?
I think, well, I think LeVar Burton.
I mean Cyclops or LeVar Burton's character from Star Trek.
Right.
Obviously. Oh, it's the old classic game of who came first, Cyclops or the chicken or the egg, LeVar Burton or Cyclops.
Yeah, exactly. The fictional character or the childhood host of Reading Rainbow.
Yeah.
So I'd be like, yeah, I'm Cyclops. And then, like, I remember there was this one kid named Brian, and he would look at me and be like, you can't be Cyclops because Cyclops is, like, really tall.
Fuck that!
I'd be like,
where the fuck is that kid?
Yeah, fuck you, Brian.
Fuck you, Brian.
I can be Cyclops.
Yeah.
You don't think laser eyes can be effective if they take you out at the waist? I'm actually more effective, fucker.
You can't be Wolverine because my fucking foot's gonna be in your rectum. And Wolverine never had feet in his fucking butthole. You piece of shit.
That was not his power. Yeah. Who? When divvying up the X-Men powers, who's going for authenticity?
Yeah, Jesus.
So what? So if you have the black friend, you're like, well, no black X-Men. Sorry, dude.
Sorry, it can be Storm. Wasn't Storm black?
Storm's black. Like, sorry, Jamal. You could be Storm. Yeah, there you go. He's like, fine, I'll be Storm.
Yo, man, it's like when I worked the Universal and they told me to take 6 weeks off to tighten up because they said I didn't look like fit enough to be Wolverine. I was in fine shape.
Yeah.
There was a Captain America. Dude, I was just like, yeah, maybe I had a little like love handles on the side. And they were like, we need to hit the gym, really bulk up those arms.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, you know, because I'm a fake superhero. They're like, you're right, a superhero. They're like, and she's like, first of all, everyone says you've been doing great. Spider-Man, Captain America. I'm like, you mean Jeff and Todd? Because we're fucking wearing suits and we're not humans. The real thing. I'm like, dude, you think I know we're trying to like commit to the whole like reality like right. of these characters, but fucking Captain America drives an Escalade with a bumper sticker that says nobody's ugly after 2 a.m. Pretty sure that's not Captain America's slogan. And if it is, I need to fucking go back and read the comics.
That's great.
But did you ever get lost in the ball pit then?
In
Discovery Zone?
Oh yeah. Oh,
okay. Would people leave and like
They'd leave and then they'd all go back like it was that thing.
You could have hid and fucking scared the fuck out of people, right?
Dude, I could still do that. Are you kidding me? I just don't want to because I don't want to wait around in child piss.
No, dude, that's a video. If Chuck E. Cheese has a ball pit, I'm going with a fucking GoPro camera.
Let's do it.
You're going with a GoPro camera.
GoPro camera?
And hiding in a ball pit and scaring kids.
Oh, that has to happen. That is going
to
happen.
I'm going to remind myself to do this right now.
Subscribe to Adam Ray's YouTube channel, and you're going to see that video. If we can't get this damn podcast up in the next few weeks, you can be
Chuck
sure.
E. Cheese, Brad, ball pit. That's all I'm going to put in my email. I don't know what that means.
Or perfect.
It's like those things sometimes you write down a joke and like in the middle of the night or something.
Yeah.
And you're just like, what the fuck? What is?
Yeah. What does Captain French Fry mean?
Captain French Fry.
Apparently, Captain French Fry was hilarious, but I have no idea what that is. Going back to the original story, so I'm doing the LOL Comedy Club in San Antonio, which I had a blast.
It's a great place?
Great club. Right next to a huge-ass mall, which is comics when you're on the road. If we have a mall, we're good.
Dude, it's perfect.
We're good.
If you've got an Orange Julius and a Dick's Sporting Goods.
We could spend 4 days there.
Survive.
Yeah, we're good.
It really is amazing how sometimes the just desolate, just so not having much around you
right.
is a like, and then when you do find an area that you're like, oh God, Radio Shack. Thank God. Like
I can play
all the things.
I can play with remote control cars for 5 hours.
Yeah,
great.
Dude. If there's a Dave and Buster's, you're like, oh, there's fucking like 90 games I could play here.
Yeah,
like,
I could
stay here. Just having some sort of like familiarity. Cause
sure.
Because like, some places you go to, you're like, God, it's fucking the same thing. But it's like, then you forget how much you appreciate that when you go to a place and your hotel is miles from it. And maybe it's just a club and that's it.
And that's it. So, yeah. So great club, great audiences. The last show, Sunday night. Smallest crowd of the week, and one of the guys, as I'm doing my set, I notice he's got his back to me, like he's facing the other direction. Now he's laughing, He's still laughing at all the jokes. So I'm like, okay.
Maybe he's
deaf, like in one ear. So he's turning his good ear towards me. Like, what's happening here? So I'm curious.
So your initial thought wasn't that he was afraid.
No.
Because he's laughing. Yeah.
Yeah, because he's laughing. So it's like, all right, cool.
He's like, I want to listen. I just don't want to look at that.
That mongoloid head. So.
Head shouldn't be that big.
I asked him. I'm like, hey, dude, who's turned around? What's up?
Sure.
What's going on? And then, of course, all his friends.
I'm glad that you did address that, by the way, let me just say. Because there's always moments in the show where you can power through and go, all right, I don't need to deal with this. But, like, I think we're both at a certain level where it's like you trust that you can deal with whatever. And you're genuinely curious because it's like you see something you don't see like that. You're like, why? Like, when I see somebody texting in the front row, I will stop and get to the bottom of what they were texting. Because I'm like, what were you doing right now in the front row that you didn't think I was going to see you do that?
Yeah.
Like,
and by the way, we see you texting in the front row because it's a dark comedy club and the phone lights up your face.
It's never important either. It's always like I was texting, like, so I've had some people be like, I was texting my friend how funny you were. I'm like, fuck you.
No, you were
stupid bitch. Give me. And I, the one time that happened, I grabbed the phone and it was just like, you know, what's going on later? Like, where's Brian?
Yeah, anyway, trying to plan something out. So his friends rat him out. His wife rats him out. He goes, he can't look at you because he's scared of you.
Oh, and I go, what does the crowd do?
And the crowd gasps at first. Like, what the fuck? Like, that, like, that's a thing? I go, no, it's a thing. But I go, all right, are you scared of me, like, because sometimes.
Yeah, they all gasp, but, like, if you make fun of a midget in a comedy club, do we all turn into stone? Like, I don't know what happens. Like, that's where they're like, is that okay? Yeah.
Is that okay? But, like, I've encountered people, like, you know those friends of yours that say, like, oh, I'm scared of clowns. But then, like, they can be around them.
Sure.
They just don't prefer them.
Sure.
So there's different levels of the fear. So then I start walking towards him, like, I'm just curious, how scared are you? He gets up out of his seat and runs away. He's like, no. And, like,
not happening. Nope.
Yeah.
People start laughing at that point.
Yeah, and he's like the one Looney Tunes character. Remember, like, the buzzer that was kind of mentally challenged, where he's like, no.
He was the Rain Man of cartoons.
Yes, exactly. So he's running away, and I go, holy shit, like, you're really afraid. And by the way, this dude's a badass. Like, he's a biker. He's wearing, like, a leather vest. He's got tats all over. Like, he's like, you see him on the street, you're like, all right, this dude has shanked some people.
What
and then he's running away from me. And I'm like, wow, this is insane. And I go, why are you here then? Did your family, like, trick you? Did they, like, not tell you who the comedian was that night? Like, hey, let's see. But, you know, let's see what happens. Turns out he was trying to conquer his fear. He knew he was afraid of little people. And he saw – and he heard me on the radio on the Billy Madison show. That's an actual radio show. And it's a great radio show in San Antonio, Texas. And he heard me on there. And he's like, I want to conquer my fear. So he showed up. So I said, don't worry. I'm going to put you in a situation where you have to conquer your fear. So I got off the stage, went up to his wife – and started motorboating her.
Oh, Jesus.
And now he's like, what the? Wait, I should go punch him.
Oh, my God.
But no. I'm scared.
What is the equivalent of that? The guy's afraid. Holy shit, dude. You start to help him get over the fear.
Yeah, because I'm like, dude.
Hey, man, because if you plan on touching these titties again, you better get over fucking dwarf saliva.
So, and the wife's loving it. The wife's like, grab him. And I start like grabbing the tits. And the guy's like, you could see him struggling. Like, he's trying to run towards me. And he takes three steps. And then, like, oh, fuck, I can't. And then, like, so that's when I know the fear is real. Because he's literally watching me molest his wife.
Oh, my God.
And the wife's
still terrified.
Yeah, and still, like,
I feel bad at any point?
Never.
Yeah, because you love the motorboat titties.
Exactly.
There's one thing I know about my buddy Brad Williams.
Yeah.
It's that I've seen him motorboat more titties than I fucking. Then
Dennis Rodman looks at me like, I wish I have motorboated as many titties as Brad Williams.
There's something about that, and that is another, I think, stereotype, is that women, I mean, because I don't know people that motorboat anymore. I don't know people that fucking ride actual motorboats. But, like, but the amount of women I've seen that are all about having it happen to them from you.
Yeah. It's
a novelty.
I don't know if they think they get a wish afterwards. Or if, like, that's, like, the first question from
you're making
Peter.
Their tits bigger somehow.
Like,
dude, next time you do it, you need to chant something. Fucking just do some of that made up language from the Nickelodeon show. Be like,
Ukadesh Bela Ibak Malitseku.
Oh my God.
Bigger titties.
Dude, Brad, okay, that's got to be a bit, dude. Like, talk about motorboating after shows and sometimes, and you work this into your doing the guest star on Nickelodeon. Say,
yeah.
Like, you take some of that character.
Sure.
And how you, like, utilize it in real life is that when you motorboat, because, like, dude, the idea of you motorboating and reciting some mantra, like, mecha, like a high, like a hiney ho, whatever it is, dude, that only. That either scares them, or then afterwards you'd be like, you know, in 5 days, you know, your tits will turn to oranges or whatever
right.
it is.
And then that bit is going to get so popular that in like GNC stores, they're going to start selling dwarf saliva extract. And it's just going to be like, oh, ancient Chinese secrets.
I'm Billy Mays. Do you want your tits to be full of beer? Then I got the solution for you. Dwarf saliva. Rub it on your nipples. Rub it on your tits. Shoestring potatoes. Shoestring carrots.
Now I'm combining fucking inventions. That's the Ronco food dehydrator.
Why not? Yeah, so it's I keep like referencing it during the show, and he's really scared. But then, like, I'm actually genuinely concerned about the guy because I want to cure him. And by the way, I don't know what possesses people.
Well, it's not a disease. He's just it's a phobia.
Yeah, it is a phobia.
What's the phobia called, by the way?
Achondrophobia, which is like I have achondroplasia. So it's achondrophobia.
Achondroplasia is the medical term for
type of dwarfism that I have.
There's types.
Yeah, there's over 100 different types.
What the fuck?
Yeah, because you have guys like Mini-Me who are 2 foot whatever. Then you got guys like me that look completely different but still technically have dwarfism.
Right.
So there's tons of different types because it is a genetic mutation. So you know what? Fuck you, Brian, who said I couldn't be Cyclops. I'm already a mutation. I'm my own damn X-Man.
Yeah, dude, fucking. You better hope Brad doesn't find some fucking ooze somewhere and just elevate his mutation to the next level.
They will be Teenage Mutant Ninja Midget.
I had 4 sons. Originally, Leonardo, Donatello, the guy from Captain EO, and Brad.
Thank you, Splinter. Yeah, so during my set, I would slowly, because like, I saw the guy laughing, so I would slowly start walking towards him, but not mentioning that I was walking towards him. Then all of a sudden, I'd be 3 feet away from him, and then I go, hey, buddy, I'm 3 feet away from you, and you're not running. You're doing better. And like the crowd would start applauding, like, yeah, he's next to the midget. Like, and by the end of it, when he came up to me after the show, he gave me a big hug. He's like, I can do it.
I can do it.
Yeah.
Wow. You're like fucking, what's his name? Tony Robbins.
Yeah, only my teeth are 1/8 the size.
That's incredible, though. So you took it upon yourself at that point.
Yeah.
You're like, the show's going to continue, but I'm going to fucking make this guy okay.
Right.
Well, I mean, but you did this post-show.
Yeah.
You couldn't turn the show into an AA meeting for dwarfism.
Hi, I'm Ted, and I have a problem with midgets. It's been 12 days since I last cried while watching the Willy Wonka movie.
Ted, that's great, but this is an abortion clinic, so I don't know what that has to do with anything.
Oh, I thought I saw the pictures of the fetuses up front. And I thought they were midgets. Sorry. Did we just get inappropriate? Maybe. Why not?
Hey, man.
Fuck it. So, but I just
don't. That's very big of you. No pun intended.
Yeah, and I just don't get the fear because it's like, why are you afraid of, like, it's not contagious. Like, I can't walk up to you, breathe on you, and you go, I'm melting. You know, like that doesn't happen.
Well, you don't know. You don't know what that halitosis shit midget breath you got on.
Stamos
might be onto something.
Damn it, Stamos.
No, but you know what? It's one of those things that you don't, out of sight, out of mind. You're not around it. You don't know enough about it.
Right.
Like we've talked about, you create these stereotypes. You create these things to be cautious of because you don't – these just – you know, like I – that's why I understand the fear, but I don't – but even before I met you and we became friends, because I don't think I'd – like been around a dwarf until then.
Yeah.
You see them, you know.
You see them on TV and stuff.
Yeah,
or you see them in Disneyland or whatever.
I mean, I can't even think of like where. I mean, I'm sure just, you know, you see them like on the bus or an airplane or fucking, you know, in a Mickey Mouse suit or.
Well, that, and you know that if you take a recorder flute and you play a certain segment of notes, we have to come running.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's just, we all know
well,
that.
Well, that's why, dude, why do you think I got so good at hot cross buns? You think my mom made my peanut butter and jelly sandwiches? I had fucking 16 dwarfs living in my closet making my sandwiches. Hot cross buns, and they're like, speaking of buns,
let me tell you,
would you like a Cinnabon? No, but it is. I don't know. I can't totally understand it because it's just like – it's still a person. So it's like what do you
– Yeah. And
you know, if you're going to pick a sect of people to be afraid of
And
this is where we could go down race road or we could –
Oh, sure. Speaking of that,
could, you know,
I saw the movie –
People with shaved heads. I mean dude, after I saw like American History X or some shit, like I see people with shaved heads still. Some people immediately go, oh, does he have a type of cancer? I'm like, oh, does he have a type of anti-Semitism? Like, there's
so you're just cautious as a Jew. You're like, all right, I got to be kind of.
I mean, for a little bit, I was. And
right.
Just if after I saw Schindler's List, I'd see people shaved heads. I'm like, dude, did you fucking like? That's how much I couldn't tie it together. I was so affected by the movie. I was like, dude, did you just get out of fucking Auschwitz? And like, dude, that happened like 60 years ago. I just fucking shaved my head because it's like fucking it's summertime and it gets hot and I used to have long hair. I'm like, oh, cool, man. Assalamu alaikum. Like, is that even Jewish? I'm like, I don't know, man. I'm just fucking uncomfortable right now.
Speaking of being uncomfortable, I saw the movie 42 over the weekend, the Jackie Robinson story.
Did you see it at the Magic Johnson Theaters?
I saw it at the Alamo Draft House, which is right next to the comedy club.
Okay.
And there was black people sitting right next to me. And that movie says the N-word an uncomfortable amount of times.
Oh, does it really?
I mean, well.
How many times did you look over and check to see if they were laughing or not?
Every time.
Like, I don't know why I said laughing. I don't know.
Yeah. No,
I meant like
they weren't laughing. I just kept looking. Like, am I supposed to cheer? Am I supposed to like? But I'm cheering for Jackie.
Or do you lean over when you hear it and you go, "Hey, just so you know, I'm not cool with it either."
Yeah, or just like one of those, because I don't want to do some moment where like the guy calls Jackie an N-word and then he gets a hit and I clap and they go, "Were you cheering the N-word or the clap?" And I'm like,
you gotta time your applause.
Yeah. It's like, no, go Jackie.
Go Jackie. I'm cheering for base hits, not.
It's like, hey, I'm from Los Angeles. I'm a Dodgers fan.
Yeah,
exactly. So that was definitely an uncomfortable situation. Like, and I would imagine that would happen for any kind of type of movie where you see a certain group getting oppressed. If you're sitting next to that group, you're just like, oh man.
Of course.
Yeah, this has got to suck.
I mean, it's like when I saw Oblivion, I was sitting next to this alien, and the whole time I was like, you know, hey dude, like, I get that you like Tom Cruise, but fuck you, dude. All right? I saw Independence Day. I saw what you tried to do to Jeff Goldblum. So suck my fucking dick. I did a show at a Jewish community center from USC.
Oh.
The one I worked at.
Oh, Hillel.
Yeah, the Hillel.
Yeah, the Hillel house.
Hillel.
Dude, forever, I thought that meant hello in
Hillel?
Hebrew.
Shalom means hello.
Yeah. But because it's so close, so when I would see my Jewish friends when I was going to USC,
I'd be
like, hello.
They would. Dude, what though? Because you put the Jewish inflection on it, they probably just went along with it. They're like, oh, you're so cute.
Hello.
Hello, Brad. Dude, oh my God. Dressing you up like an Orthodox Jew, by the way, would be fucking great.
If the curls were dragging.
Wait a minute. Dude, another great idea, dude. Because you know the fucking Orthodox Jews walk up and down La Brea
where,
in my neighborhood, like, because there's like six or seven like Orthodox synagogues.
Yeah.
Dude, put you in the full attire. There for sure are not dwarf Orthodox Jews anywhere. We get the long hair braided.
Oh, yeah.
You walk around, you
absolutely.
Get like the hat. And because what would they think? And then maybe get you to read some of the, I don't know, man.
I would think.
Giving out menorahs or fucking throwing Hanukkah gelt at kids.
I would think.
Motorboating and fucking reciting the Shema.
Right. I would think a dwarf Jew would be like the perfect kind of Jew because you guys are always looking for deals. Instead of half off, I'm half a person.
Hilarious.
Like, I'm literally half a person.
Oh,
so
Jesus.
Like, so like,
this,
so like the Jews look at me and go, he's got this beat.
See, man, this is why this podcast is the fucking shit, because we're coming from two just areas of life where like two, you know, the Jew in the dwarf world can create hours of conversation.
Absolutely.
I don't know why we haven't, come up with the whole dwarf Jew.
Dwarf Jew was the one of the Inglorious Bastards that got cut out of Quentin Tarantino's final cut. They had Bear Jew and then the less popular Dwarf Jew.
He was also one of the founding members of Captain Planet. It was Earth, Wind, Fire, Dwarf Jew. What the fuck?
Can we get Hart in here? Because Dwarf Jew is just making it creepy.
Do you ever hear my old Captain Planet bit?
No.
I've done it five times. Let me know right now if I should do it again. So I would go, the premise would be that there's always one person in a group of friends that feels like just left out and on the outside. Like everyone has been that friend or knows that friend growing up.
Mm-hmm.
I go, even in fictional characters, like Captain Planet, man. All these guys, you know, they'd get together before they would go chase or try to prevent a natural disaster. They'd all put their rings in and chant at their powers, you know, Earth, wind, fire, water. And then fucking a little Indian boy in the corner, heart. And everyone look over like, what the fuck, dude? We're trying to stop a tsunami, not reconcile somebody's marriage. What the fuck are you doing? Heart? What are you doing? Dude, go fucking sign the fan posters.
Dude, but and you're right. Like,
in, that kid was always like kind of like,
yeah.
You know, obviously I'm being a little bit, you know, heightening the aggressive, but it was a little bit of like the, okay, what was his name? Like Tamali or
Ukman?
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 Mahmoud Abdul Rahim. Whatever it was. Chest pass. Mahmoud Abdul Rahim.
Yeah, right? Oh my God, that's so funny.
But yeah, but.
But there are there is that in every group. In the X-Men, it was Jubilee, because I know I'm going back to the Jew thing.
Yeah,
and that's not that's not like a racial slur.
No.
Her name
it's
was
also
actually
delicious candy.
Her name was actually Jubilee.
Wow.
Which I think in South Park that was the name of the Jewish camping trip.
That's I mean it's great. Yeah.
They called it Jubilee. But because like you have Gambit who could like charge stuff up. Obviously Wolverine's got the claws and like Cyclops' lasers
and the love handles
out of his eyes. Yeah, and the love handles for Adam, right? And then Jubilee fireworks come out of her fingers. And not like rockets.
Not Roman candles. Like sparklers?
Like sparklers. Like she's just like, like
look, here, I'll write your name in the fucking. Yeah.
Put a camera on a really low shutter speed, and then I can slowly write your name, and then we can make a really cool Instagram photo. Yeah. That's my power.
Wow.
Like, so basically, the only time she would be useful is if it was like, it's in the dead of night. There's no lights, and the plane has to land and can't see the runway. Thank God we have Jubilee here. Jubilee would just be like, all right, I can do something. Light up. Like she was basically like a high-powered nightlight, and that was her power.
Her nemesis was the Light Bright. Every time she heard, light bright, turn on the power of colored light, she'd go, fucking make it stop!
That son of a bitch, Light Bright! Oh my God!
So I'm doing this show at the Hillel, and afterward it goes great.
Which was a Jubilee.
Yes, it was a great Jubilee, and I do a lot of. I end up like riffing on all this. I was like, I gotta have some Jewish material about like the frat because there were a lot of kids in like this Greek system there.
So that's what the Hillel House is.
The Hillel
Jewish
is
frat.
The Jewish Community Center. It's basically like the temple for on campus.
Temple de Trojan.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I moved in early with because there was a thing called Fresh Fest, which was for all the Jews. It was like moving early if you're
sounds
a Jew
like
day.
Sounds like a casting call to be R. Kelly's girlfriend.
Fresh Fest?
Fresh Fest.
Maybe it was. Maybe it was a Jewish moving camp. You know what? Let's check my blog from fucking 2002 and you'll see what happened. But so the event was cool, and so I end up riffing these jokes about like, you know what a shofar is?
What's that?
It's like the it's a ram's horn that they blow on the high holy days like Rosh Hashanah to basically like
Is that like your version of the Ricola commercial?
Oh my God.
Ricola.
They go like the rabbi will go takia and the guy will go and they'll go takia gadola.
Are you serious?
Yeah. So I go
the Jew horn.
It's a ram's horn. Yeah, I can't remember exactly what it signifies. So I go hey, live in a Jew frat. I go, people think like, oh, we just fucking said the Shema all the time. And go, no man, I learned how to make a bong out of a shofar. I was like, and so the chants that people know, they go like, you know, takia dunna dunna. I would be like, you know, takia Doritos dunna dunna whatever.
Wait, so do they like sound that horn when like Walmart's having a sale?
You know what? Yes, they do.
Walmart's having a sale. Sound the Jew horn. Sound the Jew horn. 30% off boys wear. Sound the Jew horn.
No, that's the Catholic fucking butt whistle.
I mixed my jokes. Yeah. I apologize.
Yeah, what would be the half off thing the Jews would go crazy?
Oh my
for?
God, caps.
Caps. Yeah,
I don't know. Hats. Food.
Electronics. I don't know what the stereotypical Jew item from Walmart would be.
You can't.
What's like Geraldo used to say? If you're a Jew and you're shopping at Walmart, chances are your life hasn't gone according to plan.
What a great joke. R.I.P. Greg Geraldo.
Yeah, dude.
But so
post show.
Yeah.
This is what happens at these Jewish mothers and Jewish girls, adult mm-hmm. girls, love to set up their friends with Jews.
Yes.
Especially, hey man, being a funny Jew, girls like that because, hey, I was in a Jewish frat. I have mm-hmm. a lot of Jewish guy friends. A lot of them fucking have really awful senses of humor.
Mm-hmm.
Because for whatever reason, man, they just have a, you know, also, they're just, hey man, we're in the, being in the field of comedy, we're just more,
sure.
We've been doing it for a lot longer.
Yeah,
thinking
you're pro.
Thinking in a comedic fashion.
Sure.
So post show, this girl goes, okay, she's adorable, and she immediately starts to try to like set me up with a friend, and she's like, you're gonna love my friend. Let me give you her number. And I was like, what? And she goes,
I think she'd probably want to get permission or something. Like, you don't just call up.
And I was always like,
hey, this is a guy. Let's fuck.
I go, who is she? What does she look like? She goes, she's great. She's funny.
Uh oh.
I go, let me guess. And then a girl voice, I go, let me guess. She's amazing. She goes, she it. Hey.
She knew your trick.
Yeah, and I was like, yo, what girl has not pitched her friend as being unbelievable? So you're trying to set somebody up on a blind date or just sell your friend as a pitch. No girl is ever going to be like, you're going to love Catherine. She's, you know, she's 6'9". Her you know, she's got 20 cats. She's cockeyed. Her breast smells like shit. You know, you're never going to go, oh, cool, yeah, I'm free, never.
Right.
So she's trying to pitch me, and then I was just like, yeah, she keeps forcing the number on me. And she's like, you got to call. I was like, can I at least get her name? And she's like, why, are you going to look her up on Facebook? I'm like, yeah, maybe. I have no face. For all I know, you're setting me up with someone who doesn't have a face. Because I don't, like, I'm assuming that by you just being like, hey, here's a set of digits.
Sure.
Call them and then fall in love.
Yeah.
Because obviously the friend, she has all these plans right away. She's just like, oh, because all she knows of me is 20 minutes on a stage with a microphone. It's like, you don't know that I have,
got issues.
You know that my parents, you know, got divorced and got back together when I was 8.
Adam?
What?
They didn't get back together. That was just what a guy told you on the playground.
What?
Reenacting Adam Ray's childhood.
Oh, Jesus.
But here's the code, though, is that when a woman is describing her friend to you, whenever she starts off with, she's funny, she's amazing, she's a great listener, you're going,
how much does she weigh?
Exactly.
No. I mean, that's...
No, but it's like the looks department. Like, because...
Also, let's
ladies,
not fucking beat around the bush, man. People, you're the physical attraction part is a...
It's an important part.
Yo,
it's an important part. You can argue.
It's an important part early on, and then obviously all the other stuff is just as important. Sense of humor,
sure.
Getting along, being able to talk, because once you get into your 60s and 70s, if you haven't fucking gotten trapped in the ball pit at Chuck E. Cheese and you're still kicking alive, somehow got out, then you gotta have things to talk about and in common. And
exactly,
maybe the sex has gone away. Hopefully not. Yeah. When I'm 70, I'm just going to be
Let's hope.
Yeah. Dude, you know what's funny? When I hear people that
keep the voice, Adam, and you will.
Dude, what's my voice going to be like when I'm 70?
This,
I think, because look at Morgan Freeman. Like, he was talking like this when he was 25, probably. And now he's pushing 70, and it's just a little bit deeper.
Yeah, so your voice might get even deeper. Wow. You're going to be like Ben Stein when you get older.
What if it just got chewier?
Oh.
Just slower and Jewy. Wait, how's Ben Stein talk?
Fry, Bueller.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Bueller. I was in Richard Nixon's cabinet. Bueller.
I hosted Ben Stein's money.
I discovered Jimmy Kimmel. I'm very excited about it.
Yeah, he was great.
Yeah, so you're going to get to that point, man.
All right. It does make me, though, when I hear about, because I've had friends have even taken Viagra as jokes, and I just have not done that yet because
You've never done it?
No, dude.
Oh, I have. Dude, it's a trip.
Yo, at this point, I have yet to have problems with that.
Yeah.
But also, I think knowing that what it can do to your heart, the panics I've had on pot brownies at Disneyland, fucking going up to Winnie the Pooh and being like, hey, man, my heart's about to pop out of my chest. Can you point me in the direction of the nearest first aid station? And having that motherfucker stay in character and just go, and give me the big hands up. And I'm like, hey, Pooh Bear, you want to fucking drop the act for a minute?
Right.
Put down the honey and show me where the fucking Band-Aids are and the EKG machine, man.
Dude, When I did it,
so I can't deal with Viagra because I know that it's
your heart's gonna.
Yeah, I don't know because isn't that one of the side effects? Or
I don't know. When I did it, I just kind of did it because I thought.
How long did it go for?
All night,
I mean, I guess
so. Here's the thing: it goes for 2 hours and then it goes down. But then after that, you flick that thing. A breeze and bam, back up.
Now, does it stay erect after you
finish?
Yeah.
If you do it early enough, yeah. If you pop the pill, you're hard, and then 2 minutes later, bam, you're still good.
Because my recovery time is still pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, but I'm assuming if you're
well, we have if you ever have a situation, Adam, where you have 47 women and only one night to please them all, well then maybe you might have some assistance. That's all I'm going to say.
I wish I could tell you I could please all of you at the same time. Thankfully, I can with Viagra. Morgan Freeman's Viagra. Whether you're in a prison or you're playing God, you can fuck all night and all day long.
Just make sure you purchase your Viagra with Visa.
Oh, yeah. Visa. Helping cocks filled with blood since 1947. Or maybe it was 45. Whatever. Where are we off to, Miss Daisy?
Yeah, I got worried when I took it because I thought me being smaller, like, it wouldn't just go to my dick. Like me being a midget, it would just make my whole body hard.
Yeah. Was that a question you asked your doctor?
I didn't get it from a doctor, dude.
You got it from a 7-Eleven. You got it from a guy named fucking...
Yeah, exactly.
Mahmoud Abdul-Raouf. Make sure you take it with water or Gatorade. I don't know. He sees you buying. He's like, I don't know if I should sell this to you. It might make your penis turn into a frog. What? I don't know. Isn't that what happens to your dick when you feed it with pills?
I think you read that from Stamos, man.
Stamos!
Dude, Stamos is becoming the fucking Interrupting Danza.
He is. Like, you have Interrupting Danza.
We're going to have both of them on.
I have Stamos. Danza will have to meet Stamos when we eventually have Stamos on. And that's going to happen. That's going to happen.
Wait, so what happened? So you, all right, so you.
Yeah, I mean, I popped
that's
it.
That's the story, basically.
I mean, I got it hard for, like, a long-ass time, and it was good. That's all I'm gonna say. Don't be popping it like Pez. You know, don't have a Pez dispenser with Bob Dole as the head, and then you're just popping Viagras every 2 seconds.
Yeah, that's probably a bad idea. Two people that will never be coming into contact with Viagra are my nieces. And Jansen,
what a transition, Jansen, Adam
Ray. I'd like to pull this video up because I was home a few weeks ago, and okay. Obviously Bieber's been in the news a lot with the whole Anne Frank stuff that we talked about.
Right.
And then there's a video of him getting attacked on stage.
Funny.
This kid rushes the stage, and then another kid tries to grab him off, and then the piano flips.
Really?
And the video taken by these girls, they freak out. They're like, oh my god! And one of them goes, Justin, oh my god! Because the piano flips, it looks like it flips on top of them like the fucking house on the Wicked Witch of the East.
Oh wow.
And so they're freaking out.
That would have been like the teenage girl version of the Kennedy Zapruder film.
Oh yeah.
Like that's what they would watch frame by frame. Yeah. Like this is the part where the piano flips on Bieber.
Oh yeah. It was kind of nuts. So I sat down with my nieces who are 3 and a half.
Okay.
And they know who Bieber is. They listen to the music.
All right. It's safe for them. It's
and
good.
And I asked a series of questions because I'm like, hey, I want to get to the bottom of true believers and see what it is about Bieber that's so appealing. So
okay.
Jansen, let's...
Do you guys like Justin Bieber? Are you guys believers?
They're nodding.
Do you think Anne Frank would have been a believer?
Yeah.
Is Justin Bieber going to be the next Michael Jackson?
Uh-huh.
Do you think Justin Bieber could beat up Phil Collins in a fight?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you think Justin Bieber has small nipples?
No.
If Justin Bieber ran for president, would you vote for him?
Yeah.
Do you think Justin Bieber would play ping pong with us?
Yeah.
Is his music good?
No.
If Justin Bieber came out with a cologne called Poop Pants, would you still buy it?
Mm-hmm.
If Justin Bieber played Will Smith in a movie, would you go see it?
Yeah.
Thank you. Do you think Justin Bieber and Billy Ocean should team up for a Christmas album?
Mm, yeah.
Who's a better singer, Justin Bieber or Selena Gomez?
Selena Gomez.
Gomez.
Selena Gomez?
Yeah. It's like.
Yeah.
Do you think Justin Bieber has a hairy back?
Uh-huh.
Do you think Justin Bieber pees his pants?
This is great.
Yeah.
Do you think he tells anybody about it, or do you think he just wears pee pants all day?
Pee pants all day.
Do you think Justin
By the way,
Bieber
I think pee pants all day played Coachella.
Yeah. And change it to Bieber book?
Mm-hmm.
Can I go see a Justin Bieber concert by myself in a leather jacket?
No.
Is Justin Bieber the greatest dancer of all time?
No.
Who is? Usher?
No, actually, Adam.
I'm the best dancer of all time?
Yeah.
Wow.
You don't know how much I needed that today.
Yeah, I can stop.
Well played, Adam Ray.
Unbelievable, right? Their timing. I mean, I asked him probably 10 more questions than that, but like the variety, like them both saying no to the hairy nipples.
They both at the same time.
Yeah, that was the only one they both were in agreement on.
Right. Yeah, then they both didn't like his music. That was great, man.
Pee pants all day. Like,
gave him options, man. I didn't tell her. I didn't tell her to say that shit.
Pee pants all day,
you know,
man.
That's straight from the true fans, man.
Yeah.
I want Bieber to see that so he really knows that, you know, that, hey, just because they're three doesn't mean they don't fucking have developed opinions about his music and his pee styles.
Exactly.
Yeah, see? That was fun. Another classic About Last Night episode in the books. Thanks for listening, folks. A lot of fun guests coming up in the next couple weeks, so continue to rate and subscribe to the podcast. Tell your friends. Go to aboutlastnightpodcast.com to get all the episodes that you haven't heard, like Paul Feig, Lisa Kudrow, Dan Cook, Whitney Cummings, Michael Yo, Ben Glebe, Bobby Lee, and coming up, of course, Rick Glassman from Undateable, Adam Devine from Workaholics, Tom Arnold, Bert Kreischer, Melissa McCarthy, and, of course, John Stamos in about a month from now. Tell your friends. Subscribe so you don't miss all these episodes. Go to the aboutlastnightpodcast.com website. Click on the Amazon banner to do your shopping through that site so we can get a couple shekels for our clothes or for Brad's baby clothes for his nephew, but also for him. Continue to follow us on Twitter at Funny Brad, at Adam Ray Comedy. Tweet at us about the podcast, hashtag About Last Night. Thanks for listening. You guys are awesome. Detroit, good night.
'Listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger. Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.